everyone, my name is Amber Dawn, and I'm just going to be introducing the four readers and panelists, and I will just introduce them.
I'm taking in the crowd at Canzine West, a gathering of independent magazine and website publishers. The people strolling through the rows of vendors are predominantly young, tattooed, and pierced, but with a keen interest in literature. I'm here to give a seminar on food writing, but I'm also eager to meet younger writers and poets who like to express themselves through their food experiences. A series of readings served as introductions. Zoe Harris read about her memorable yet reluctant meeting with her Slovenian grandmother.
After breakfast, she placed a piece of paper in front of me. "It's in Slovene," I said. "It's my mother's recipe." "But I don't understand Slovene." She sighed. "When you were a baby, I would speak to you in our language. I thought you'd learn it faster that way." She straightened up and took a breath that rumbled deep in her lungs. "We should start the dough." "I'm just going to pack first," I said, standing. She tightened her apron ties. "The dough needs to sit for an hour." She yanked open the fridge door, took out the walnuts, and put them on the counter beside the eggs and butter she'd left out overnight. "Can I at least go brush my teeth?" I locked myself in the bathroom and forced my mouth to stop wiggling at the corner. "Yoja," Grandma called from the kitchen. I could hear the wooden spoon scraping against the side of her metal mixing bowl. I went back into the kitchen and sat sideways in one of the chairs. "Here, you try." She held the bowl out to me. "No, it's okay. I can see from here." I stretched my neck up for effect. "Come, try," she insisted. I slid off the chair and took the bowl from her. She pretended not to watch my mixing technique. She was leaning on the counter, reading the recipe, but I could see her eyes drifting. I even swore I saw her hand twitch like she was going to grab the bowl from me, but she stopped herself, and instead, she touched my hair.
That was Zoe Harris. Ben Hart grew up in Canada's donut culture and takes a tongue-in-cheek look at his least favorite round of dough, the cruller.
"Oh, how cruel. This sweetness, it corrupts everything, the milk, the butter, eggs going soft, your sugar coat sliding off, a mess on my hands when you melt at room temperature. Leave patterns on wax paper, stains like clouds, I can find things in them, right there, a hat, here, a boat, I can see it, but can't think of anything more than a donut dressed up slippery in leather. A doughy dominatrix whose skin, once broken, reveals real cruelty. Crueler than any other, inside you are nothing. You are empty, airy, hollow."
Ben also went on to wax poetically about Boston creams and the old-fashioned. "Never thought I'd listen to a series of poems about donuts." Trish Kelly is a vegetarian who experimented with animal flesh in her short story called Losing My Veginity.
"I owned a cow once. When I was a kid, my mother demanded that my father stop buying me extravagant princess dresses and start buying practical gifts. So he bought me a cow from my uncle's farm. After a brief introduction, my hand reaching through the slats of the pen to pet the caramel and cream-colored calf, I wanted to take it home with me. Months later, a honk in the driveway announced the arrival of our Christmas cow, tidily wrapped in butcher's paper. There was also a horse gift later on from my father, but enough said. Considering my emotionally scarring childhood, I hold relatively cerebral reasons for my vegetarianism. The ethics of meat consumption and the environmental footprint of its production have kept me veg all these years. As I've aged, it's become harder to hold on to my virginity. In my 30s now, I've become more refined in my tastes and less concerned about my virtue. I drink wine now. I go to fancy restaurants. And I've realized that I can't really continue down the slippery slope of enjoying life with such a long don't list. But if I'm going to lose my virginity, it's going to be as a guilt-free hedonist. I'm going to do my homework and find an ethical way to indulge."
The ethical way she chose to indulge was to feast on seafood that was harvested in a sustainable fashion. After the readings, the writers discussed why they feel writing about food is important to them. Zoe Harris says food is one of the few ways she can connect to her heritage.
"For me, kind of as I get older, I notice how it relates more to communication and to culture. And that when I was a kid, baking things with my grandparents, it was all about eating the food after it was done. And now it's about, oh, this is the one piece of culture that I can actually tangibly feel, as opposed to I don't speak the language, you know, I don't have any of the clothing, I don't sing the songs, but the food is something that's there and that I can feel is almost a tangible way to continue my ancestry, or my line of ancestry in some ways.
Food is part of our lives whether we like it or not. We have to eat to live. For such a basic necessity, we should spend more time reading about it. I'll have links to some of today's authors on my website and list some of my favorite food writers to start you along a delicious path, one for which you don't have to count the calories. That's Food for Thought. I'm Don Genova.